It's Father's Day. A time to celebrate all the wonderful fathers out there. Not just for being shining examples of how great a dad can be, but also for being wonderful reflections of who God is. Like God, you've provided for us. You've shown us how much you care from the very beginning. With God, you've guided us, helping us navigate through every decision, big or small. You've been present. It sounds so simple, but it's so important. Just knowing you're there when we need you. You've been patient with us, helping us to grow and learn from all the mistakes we make. And like God, you forgive us, offering us grace so those mistakes can never define us. And most of all, you've loved us unconditionally as only someone filled with God's love could. So today, we thank you, dads, for all of this and so much more. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my love. I need you to soften my
everybody.
It's your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail.
Come on.
My God, you never will. 'Cause I may be weak. It's your spirit strong in me. My flesh may fail. Trust what you say, that you're good, your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. That you're good, that your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my
Just be still a moment. What do you want to say, God?
People will draw near me, will draw near to them.
Isn't it wonderful? But isn't it wonderful when you sit on your porch or in your den at night with the lamp turned on, you know, the low lights, and you're just thanking God for the day and you just feel His presence so strong? It's wonderful, isn't it? Because His presence not only powers us, but it heals us, it comforts us. It gives us peace and security and safety and strength. All the things that His presence does. We can feel that. You know, I used to say to some of my patients, I would say, when you can't think of anything else, you say the name of Jesus. And you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it. Until you feel your room, your environment change, and you feel that presence. You invite Him in when you call on His name. You're inviting Him in. When you have those calm, quiet moments alone, or when you're in the car and you get to the stoplight, you realize His presence is with us. And no matter what the neighbor in the other car is doing and what kind of boom, 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 boom you're hearing from his car, you know what's in your car. You know, sometimes it takes God's presence to allow us to handle the Father's Day and the Mother's Day and the birthday and the anniversary. Because sometimes it's not easy. You may not have your father this year. And there may be a void there. I'm not going to go buy that shirt with the pocket on it this year. You got to have a pocket. I'm not going to go by his house. He won't be in church today. Or you might be the opposite. He wasn't in my life. He's never been in my life. And I'm grieved because I didn't have. So there's a lot of emotions going on today in this room. There's a lot of emotions going on in people. Some people are not going to be happy today. Happy Father's Day, oh yeah? But the Holy Spirit can begin the healing process, can continue the healing process, not only today, but every day in the future. He can wipe away the harshness. He can wipe away the loss. He can wipe away the void. He can wipe away the anger, the comments, the crude remarks, because you can allow that Holy Spirit to heal your heart and to change you. Women, we're protective of our kids. We're protective even when daddy comes into play. Honey, you're being too harsh. How in the world are we going to handle 3 weeks of restriction? That's what I usually told Wallace. He would say, no bicycle for 3 weeks. I'd say, how are we going to handle 3 weeks without a bicycle? Four-wheeler. Whatever the tires were, Zach, that year. But we know that the Father, our Father, can heal us of the difficulties. And like us moms, we want to protect our children. But we know that it is through God that that healing will take place. We know that it is through God that He will place that man in our children's lives when they need it the most, that can father them. It may be a man at work that's working beside your son that says, I'm proud of you today. You worked like a horse. You just stayed right with me all the way. I'm proud of you. You've made important strides. It may be that teacher in his life that says, man, this is an awesome drawing. Your behavior today wasn't good, but this drawing on this paper is fantastic. And I'm going to put it up on the bulletin board because I want the art teacher to see it when she comes in. It may be that man that lives next door that says, come on over and let me teach you how to drive my lawnmower. I'll put a little block of wood on it so you can reach the pedals. It's those men. They may not have the biological term father, but they're doing the fathering acts. Ladies, when that harshness comes within your spirit and that anger, when you realize that void in your child's life, you pray, God, place men, godly men in their lives that will encourage and uphold them, that will teach them, that will show them, that will be a model to them. I think of all the times that Mike Blow has had outings, mosquito-bitten outings, and sometimes even some poison ivy coming home. But he has taught guys how to get in a canoe and how to paddle together. He's taught guys how to put a worm on a hook. And he's taught guys to light a fire, to make a campfire. Some hot dogs, some buns, some chips, and some time together just investing in young men. That's what fatherhood is about. Some of you may not have ever biologically fathered, but you've fathered a lot. So today, let's take advantage of allowing God's presence to speak to us, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring strength, and to be able to not only receive those things, but to gift those things to others. Thank you, Father, that even though sometimes we're not even sure if we can trust you because we haven't had a father that we could fully trust, we know, Lord, that you are forever there. When we call on your name, Jesus, Jesus, we can feel your presence. We can invite you into our lives. We can ask you, Lord, for healing, for change, for deliverance. We thank you, Father, for fathers that are fathering well. We thank you, Lord, for fathers that are working hard to change to father well. We thank you, Lord, for drawing those men that are confused, that don't have you. Lord, place somebody in their life today that will speak something to them, that will plant that seed, that will irritate their spirit to call out to you for help today. Father, we know that you are worthy. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us, that you've given us the word to read, to rely on, to guide us. And Lord, that you give us strength that's beyond our own selves. It's not in us, Lord, that we can do well. It's in you and through you that we can be the Christian you've called us to be. Thank you, Father, for today. We ask that it would be a grand day. Maybe not happy, but grand, that you're changing us. You're changing lives. You're changing those that need to be drawn back to you, that need change, that need deliverance, that need wholeness. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We thank you, Father, for being there for us in every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the Carpenter Shop International Church. At this time, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. We have the buckets up here at the front. We also can give online through the church app. So feel free to do that now.
Praise the Lord. Come on, worship the Lord, somebody. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. So glad to see each and every one of you here today, and thank you, online audience, for joining us. Praise God. Jeremy, would you mind standing and turning around and letting this congregation see our little Eli? Come on, man. Eli, what's up, buddy? You are the reason we live, you know? We want to have children and grandkids. Come on, can we bump one down there? I know the deal. You spend more time with Mimi than you do with me, so I'm just like a, just keep your distance, pops. Come on, y'all appreciate Eli today? Amen. Praise God. Well, we're in a series in the month of June, and the series is entitled Man Up. when I was praying about the year, praying about what God would speak to us, I got to June and I was working through dates and stuff, and I just felt the Lord say to me, don't just do Father's Day, but do an entire month speaking to men. Amen. So in the Man Up series, last week we began that with a special guest who spoke to us about dealing with the Delilahs in our lives. It was a great narrative message on Samson and Delilah. Delilah was a Philistine who bribed to entrap Samson. She coaxed him. Remember the story? She coaxed him into revealing the very secret of his strength, which was in his hair locks, his long hair. She took advantage of his confidence to betray him to his enemies, and her name came to mean treacherous woman. God used Pastor Kim last week to present us with the question for every man, for every person, really, what are the Delilahs in your life that are luring you away from God, what he desires to do in us and through us? And the call upon us was to do what? Man up. Man up. Be the men that God had called us to be. I'm so glad to hear Pastor Joy's comments today. Thank you, sweetheart. She leaned over to me and she said, I don't even know what I'm going to say today. Don't worry about it. If you're in the ministry, you'll get to those places where you don't have a clue what you're going to say. But I can tell you what you said was a perfect page into my notes. It was a perfect thing because she tried basically to soothe the spirit of some of you who are feeling so what about today, you know? Happy Father's Day. Yeah, right. Some of you don't have a good relationship with your dad. Some of you have a great one. Some of you have one you're working on. And your dad may be an older man, but you're still working to try to find some definition to what God is doing in not only his life, but your life. Come on, how many of you just can say, hey, Pastor, I know what you're talking about? Come on. It's just a work in progress, you know? I'll be the first one to admit I've had to do some special work in my relationship with my dad. It's just taken some extra care for me to just smooth off some edges. Amen? And I'm doing the best I can. I spent 2 days of my last week caring for him, and they were meaningful times for me. Times when I began just to ponder where I was and what I was doing. This week I'll do the same thing. I'll slide him into my busy life because he matters, okay? And I'm doing the best I can to make that a very positive thing. Let's pray together one more time. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How marvelous you are. How amazing you are. You know us. All of us who are seated here today, all of us who are watching online, all of us, God, no matter where we are, you know us. And you know our relationship to our Father or as a Father. And I'm asking you today, Lord, to minister powerfully to your people. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was about 10 years ago. I will never forget a request that came to me. I get requests all the time. I got probably four yesterday. Just, hey, Pastor, just request. Can I have a slice of your time? Could I meet you one day this week? Could I set up an appointment with you? I got this request about 10 years ago. It was from a young man, a father of two. I knew him. He was a hardworking guy. He made a good living, provided for his family. He was active in his church, active in his community. He was loved by many and was a tremendous asset to his family in many ways. You would look at him as, as one who somewhat had it all together. How many of you know we just kind of look into people's lives and we make an assessment? Boy, they got a lot of money. You know, we do that, don't we? Boy, they got a nice car. You know, we basically make an assessment of them and we really don't know the details. So we looked at him as one who had it all together, living the life, and no one would have ever known that on the inside, somebody say inside. On the inside, he was hurting. On the inside, he was hurting at a depth that very few people would have ever known. He sat in my office. For moments, he was speechless. First few moments of the visit, tears came down his face. Momentarily, he was weeping, and it moved to sobbing. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever seen a grown man get to a depth of sobbing, it's an emotional deal. You know, some men just kind of, you know, maybe wipe the tears off the corner, but I'm talking about a man who sat in my office and the space that I gave him space to get it out. And I'll never forget what he said at the finally just a resting place from the sobbing. I never will forget what he said. Pastor, I'm a grown man. I'm a father myself. More weeping, more emotion now. And then he continued. And as I said in your office today, I don't even know who my father is. That moved me. I was just kind of stopped in my tracks for a moment. I thought, wow, I don't even know who my father is. He spoke for several moments on emptiness. He spoke for several moments on pain. He spoke for several moments on the loss that he had lived with. Not just the absence, but the lack of even knowing who his father was. And there's no telling how many have the same story. Living their lives with a reality that they really don't even know their father. Living their lives from day to day, maybe knowing who their father is, but wondering why he's not here. Better yet, maybe they know their father and he's in the home, but not in their lives. You can be in the building and not there, okay? We need fathers. Statistics are bad. 85% of our, listen closely to these. I found some 75 or 80 statistics, and I was careful to select just a few of the powerful ones. 85% of our youth who are currently incarcerated in prison grew up in fatherless homes. Check that out. 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a home with no father. 7 out of every 10 young people in a detention center, that's before jail, okay? A detention center, 7 out of 10, and a residential treatment facility. Oh, he's going to a special school. 7 out of 10 come from fatherless homes. That comes from the Department of Justice. 24.7 million children in the United States live in a home where their biological father is nowhere to be seen. That equates to 1 in every 3 in the U.S. not having access to their dad. 72% of Americans believe that a fatherless home, check this out, is the most significant social problem and family problem that is facing this country today. They would chase it all the way back to what the problem is. He doesn't have a father. 68% of kids will spend their entire childhood with an intact family. Only 68% will know what it's like to grow up. Mom and dad are there. They'll go all the way through school, graduate college. Mom and dad are still together. They'll get married, have kids. Mom and dad are still together. Only 68%. 85% of all kids which exhibit, listen to this, 85%, say 85 with me, 85% of children that exhibit some type of behavioral disorder. And you can name out all the initials, okay? Well, he's got this, he's got that, he's got the other thing. Some type of behavioral disorder, 85% of those kids come from fatherless homes. Well, we're raising him. I said fatherless. It was never God's will for grandparents to raise children. You're supposed to see them momentarily and then say, y'all be careful going home today. Okay? Okay, y'all got this? Come on. Jim Rentz, who was the right-hand man for Jimmy Swaggart for many years, preached for us several times here at Carpenter Shop. Jim Rentz has gone on to be with the Lord now, but Jim said, this was his theme song, I've seen the lights of London and I've seen the lights of Rome, but I've never seen such a beautiful sight as the taillights of the car taking the grandkids home. Okay? Wow. You love to see them, but there comes a time when they just need to go back home, okay? Can I just tell you something? Your kids feel about you the same way, okay? They love when mom and dad show up, but they're always glad when mom and dad go back home too, right, Jeremy? Come on, man. Tell me the truth. Such a sad thing. What is a father? What is a father? The word father is first seen in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is the context. God created Adam. He's the first man from the dust of the earth. And he had taken a rib from Adam, and he had created Eve, the first woman, out of man. That's what woman means, out of man. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 24. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Man, I wish the world would pay attention to this. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's rib and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. Y'all want to hear the Phillips translation on how that happened? Somebody please say yes. Adam was there, right? The Lord took the rib, he covered it with flesh, and he presents it to Adam. And Adam looks at that woman. He says, whoa, whoa, man. Y'all get that? Okay. Man, he was so excited. He was so excited. Verse 24, that's why a man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So do you have a clear picture of the biblical understanding of a God-created family? Man, what a jacked-up society we're in today. A man is a male, okay? A woman is a female. They have children under procreation, okay? Men produce sperm. Women produce eggs. I remember when Pastor Joy was trying to explain to Joshua how this happens. And it was a long time ago. You know, he's already had it happen to him now, okay? But he was asking a lot of questions. And, you know, Dr. James Dobson said you should give them answers on a level that they can really take in and understand. And Pastor Joy was saying, well, you know, your dad has something inside of him called sperm. It's like a little fish. She said, you know, there was a race one day, and you got there first, okay? And Josh says, really? She said, yeah. He said, wow, I won? She said, you did, you won. And he starts clapping his hands, okay? You know, the plan is that you clap your hands about your life all the way through. But how many of you know, life happens and we don't always clap for ourselves, do we? But she said, you know, you won the race. And I looked at her and I thought, it seems like it worked, okay? You know, kids have a lot of questions. I'm going to have a message here not too long ago that's going to be a PG message. And I will have to tell you to be prepared that day. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then you need to just make other arrangements. But I will use the terms. I will speak the word. I heard the message first at Abby and Jeremy's church. And probably the best thing to do is let the man who fashioned the message just preach it, because he has done an absolutely incredible job. His name is John Lindell. And rather than borrow from all of his hard work, I think the best thing to do is just play it. And so maybe we'll do that here sometime in several weeks away. I'll give you enough warning. But it's a very, very truthful message. And it's a message that we need to hear today, because our world is messed up. We call it gender dysphoria. You heard me say things from this pulpit. Well, Pastor's kind of raw today. No, you know what? We've come to a time in our lives where you just have to speak the truth, okay? You just have to speak the truth. It's a shame that we have such gender dysphoria that we've created, hear me now, post-biblical models of relationships that are all counterfeits to what God really intended. Well, he can't help it. He was born that way. That's a lie. Sexual orientation is learned, okay? You say, well, she's a nice girl, you know. She's a good friend of mine. She's a lesbian. She's gay. She chose to be that way, okay? No, 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 I don't think so. You can not think so all you want to. You're not born that way. You learn those behaviors, okay? Gender dysphoria. But this, in this biblical, God-created, God-ordained model for humanity, God says there would be a what? A father. A father. And I'm sorry, I'm not giving in to your, well, it's neither he nor she, it's a they or them. No, no, not me. Not me. I'm going to address you based on what I see. Okay? People can try their best to be something else. You're not that. Okay? You're not. You have to be very, very honest. We just have to be honest. Okay? The Hebrew combination of two words, father, the Hebrew combination, this is biblical. This is God instituted. The Hebrew combination is Bet Aleph. I've been to Israel 12 times. 13 will be leaving November 7th. The bus is full. Sorry. We didn't even advertise it. We got a full load. I'm waiting on extra seats now for others who want to get on board. Bet Aleph. Bet means the house of. Every time you see B-E-T when you're riding around Israel, you'll see Bet Sha'an, Bethlehem, all everywhere you see it. It means house of. And like Bethlehem, Lahem is bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was what? The bread of life. It is the house of bread. Okay? So, Aleph means the strong one, the leader. The picture or the analogy here in the Hebrew is that of an ox. He's an ox. He's the strong one. He's the beast, okay? So now you can turn to your dad and say, hey, thanks for being the ox in the house, okay? Okay? He's the leader. He's the strong one. It's the house of the ox. We're talking about a father. And the word father is translated pater, P-A-T-E-R in Hebrew. And we see that little beginning of our usage in our modern day word. We see the word what? Paw on Andy Griffith. Hey, Paw. It was always Paw. How many of y'all grew up with Paw? I didn't. I grew up with Dad, okay? But Paw, he's my Paw. P, Paw, Papa. I married into a family that used Papa. I didn't use that word, but Joy's family used the word Papa. So all of my days of having a father-in-law, I always called him Papa, okay? Now, my family calls me the last one. Forms of it, some of you guys are probably called the same thing. Hey, who is that guy? He's my what? He's my pops. My kids call me Pops. The grandkids call me Pops. You don't call me Pops, okay? It's a form of the word pater, pa. If you're Hispanic, it's what? A pa, okay? Is that correct? Am I correct? I don't want to crucify Spanish here with Hispanic-speaking people. Same thing in the nation of India, a pa, a ma, okay? So Pops, Papa, Pa, word pop, pater. If you translate over to the New Testament, then you start to see the word what? Abba. Abba means father, or the translation is, as Jesus was agonizing in the garden, Father, take this cup from me. What did he say? Where he cried out what? Abba! Abba means dear daddy. Dear daddy, a very close and intimate term. He's the strong leader, the papa, the father, the Abba. He's the strong leader of the family, the ox type figure here. He's the largest in his influence on the beast of burden. He leads the family to grow up. He's teaching John Boy and Mary Ellen and all the kids. He's teaching them that this is what you do. This is the aspiration of a young man to grow up and to leave his home and to marry a woman. He discovers his bride. And some of you say, well, you know, I don't know, Pastor. He was kind of, you know, he kind of sticks tight to that. I got good friends that are gay. I got good friends that are gay, but they know my position on homosexuality. Okay? I'm going to love you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay? And I say to the homosexual audience, you are welcome here at Carpenter Shop International Church. We want you to be here because we believe that we speak the truth and we'll speak the truth in love. There is no way we're going to condemn you for what you're doing. We want to help you get out. Talking about coming out, we want to help you come out. Okay? Come out of darkness. That's a dark life. You will never experience the fullness that God intended for you unless you can get out of that, and we can help you. So you're welcome here. So man, father, this strong leader teaches his family. He raises his kids to understand, here we go, their God-given gender. He raises his kids to understand their God-given purpose. He raises his children to understand their God-given role. So when you as a man, as a father, forsake your God-given role, my goodness, hear this. When you as a man forsake your role that's God-given, then you are subjecting, don't miss this, you are subjecting your children, your offspring, to grow up to be socialized in a manner which is completely contrary to everything God intended. That's hurtful. This is how we end up with these hurtful statistics that we have about our kids. Some of you grandparents are raising kids. Well, you know, he can't afford to. And I know you feel like you're being that redemptive piece, but people need to take responsibility. You know, they're out there just having the time of their life. Life is good, and you're raising their children. There's been many a grandparent, man, who've suffered physically. Not so much, but yes, even financially. Because they're raising grandchildren that was never God's intention. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. No, I don't. I don't. I don't understand how we got this place. But yes, I really do. Because if you are to do what you're supposed to do, the parents will help you. They may help you. They may help you selectively guide you and help you. But don't just drop them off and expect them to make champions out of your kids. That's hard, isn't it? This is how we end up with all of these statistics. People grow up gender confused, purpose confused, role confused. Many end up forfeiting their God-given destiny because their father refused to be what God called him to be. Somebody say, man up. Come on. Man up. So then the father is the one destined to be the ox here, to be the beast, to be the strong leader of his family, making sure as for me and my house, this is where we're going. Okay? So what does the father do? How does he accomplish this? Well, the fathers love their wives. See, Pastor, you're not budging on this. No, I'm not. Because the Bible is clear. I'm preaching from the Bible. I'm not preaching from society. The Bible is clear. I mean, listen, Amazon is full of it. You can go to Amazon and order books on the gay ABCs and teach your kids the alphabet that is gay accepted. Okay? The gay ABCs. Just Google it. It's there. You can buy the book. The gay ABCs, not the ABCs. You can buy all, so-and-so has two mommies. No, she doesn't. She has one mommy. Okay? You can buy all of these books online, and they're pushing these things. Okay? They're driving these things down your throat that goes contrary to what the Bible teaches. All right? So I'm making an assumption that if you're fathering children, then guess what you have? You have a wife. Okay? You should not only be a father, but you should already have been a husband, okay? No living together. We don't do that, okay? There's been so many people in this church that have lived together, and they've lived together a long time, but guess what happened? They came to me one day and said, Pastor, we want to talk to you about getting married, okay? And it's not because I preached every week on this kind of thing, and I hammered away at shame on you. No, it's because conviction finally settled in. And people chose to do what God has already ordained. Let a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So you should have been a husband before you should have ever been a father. Okay? Father should make every effort possible to spend his days with the mother, fulfilling that very role that God called him to fulfill. Listen, I know there are relationships that did not make that intention. I know that there are marriages that did end in divorce, and God gives us a guideline for divorce. Just make sure that if you do divorce, you are divorcing within the biblical guidelines, okay? Just make sure you do that. And I realize God does grant that. And so let's just make sure that when we do sever relationships, that we've done so with a biblical precedent. So fathers are to do what? Fathers are to love their wives. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 25 to 28. Husbands, you're given a command here. Husbands, love your wives. You can go to Genesis to Revelation. Never is a wife told to love her husband. Never. Oh, so I don't have to love the jerk? No. Not there. We're going to clear this up this morning for sure, okay? Husbands, love your wives. Let's get through the text first. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He sacrificially gave and died. He gave himself for the church. That's how the husband is to love his wife. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Paul says, this kind of love that we have for our wife is agape love. There's four words for love, okay? There's agape, which is unconditional. There's storge, which is familial. There's phileo. Ever got behind a car in Philadelphia? Welcome to Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And then there's one that's not even found in the Bible, not even in Song of Solomon. There's eros, E-R-O-S, which is totally what? Sexual. That's a word for sexual love. So four words, but he says, husbands, agape your wives. You don't love your wife like a brother. No. You don't love your wife just like a family, like another family member. No. You love her unconditionally. Even when she doesn't do like you want her to do. Even when she doesn't treat you like you think you ought to be treated. You love your wives without condition. So you ever wondered why husbands are told to love their wives And wives are never told to love their husbands. Let's clear that up. I've counseled so many people prior to getting married. And I would ask every couple without exception, hey, so you know, you remember the story when Adam and Eve failed in the garden and God placed a punishment upon Adam and a punishment. He put a curse on both of them. And what was the curse upon man? That he would what? That he would earn his living at the sweat of his brow. So what was the curse upon woman? Help me here. She would what? Childbirth pain. Bump. That's only part of the answer. She has a double portion to her curse. In pain, she would bring forth children, but her desire should be for her husband. Look over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. To the woman he said, we're here in the Garden of Eden now, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. Okay? You're right, but only half right. Semicolon, with painful labor will you give birth to children. And what else? Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So God has given you this innate love for your man. What's the most important thing in a man's life? Working and playing. Working all day at Nucor, getting off and going fishing on the Chowan River. That's the most important thing in his life. What's the most important thing in his wife's life? Her husband. Okay? The most important thing in the life of every man is his work. The most important thing in the life of every woman is her man. Y'all got this? He can treat you like a jerk. And you still love him. So God knows you never had to be told to love him. You got cursed with that. Y'all got that? Say, thanks, Pastor. Always wondered why I could just do stupid stuff and she still come back to me, you know. Now you know, okay? She loves you. But you have to be told to love her, okay? Husbands are reminded by God to love their wives as Christ loved the church. John 3:16 tells us how God loved the church. For God so loved the church that he gave. And fathers and husbands, you're called by God to love your wife unconditionally. This is the greatest thing you could ever do as a father for your children, to love your wife. Second part of this, what do fathers do? They not only love their wives, but they nurture their children. Husbands love and their wives, and as fathers, they love and nurture their children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, what does exasperate mean? It means to provoke them to anger. It means to just irritate the mess out of them. Okay? How many times have you seen fathers who will do stupid things with their kids, and then they go off to a neighbor's house 3 weeks later, and the thing that they do that's stupid in their own home, their kid starts doing it. Father says, hey, don't do that. You taught him to do it, okay? It might be something as simple as passing gas. Okay? What are you doing? You do it at home, okay? Well, hey, then don't get on me in the public for doing it, okay? Okay, y'all got this? Don't exasperate your children. Don't agitate and irritate them, making rules that don't apply. Okay? Don't irritate your kids, Proverbs 22:6, but rather train them up in the way that they should go, according to the Bible, according to God's holy word. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And then Proverbs 13 Verse 24, whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves his son is diligent to discipline them. Okay? And then listen, some moms, they handle this the wrong way too. You wait till your daddy gets home. That's not right. You wait till the ox comes in the house. No. Why don't you go ahead and begin discipline, okay, and not build the reputation to your kids that your daddy's just going to beat the fool out of you, okay? Because many times kids harbor hatred toward their parent, toward their father, because their mama got off with no discipline. Mighty quiet in here this morning, okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Discipline belongs to parents, S on the end. So listen, if you can take care of a lot of it, then maybe it won't be so bad when dad gets home. What do we have going on here, bud? You can just talk to the kid. What happened? Okay? And then, you know, wife's already told you what she did. And, you know, sometimes the husband, he's already worn out and tired. He's already worked 8 hours. And he comes in, and guess what? He does make the discipline way too large. 4 weeks, no bicycle. No, that's too much. How about 4 days, okay? Okay? But sometimes if we're not careful, as a husband, we will just go to extremes because we just want to get it off our back right quick. Okay? So discipline belongs to parents. That's S. Both of them. Don't build the reputation that daddy's just going to beat you to death, okay? Because that's what daddies do. So we need to discipline our kids. We need to love our wives. We need to discipline our kids. When the time comes for discipline, it's done so that you will provide the needed leadership to correct. So you'll save them so much from investing a deep sense into these children's lives of right and wrong. You lead your kids by example. You're literally reproducing yourself. This is the power of what? Socialization. You're reproducing yourself. You're showing them how to live. You're giving them the example of how to you respond in certain life situations. You teach kids how to use money. You show them the value of spiritual life. I'll never forget, man, Zach came to me 16 years old. I want a truck. I said, I don't doubt that you want a truck. And so, you know, so-and-so's got a truck. You know, wanting a truck doesn't mean that you're going to get a brand spanking new, whatever year it was, you get a brand spanking new truck, okay? Well, his granddad signed for him. Well, that's his granddad, but guess what? I'm not signing for you. You're not going to sign for me to get a truck? No, I'm not going to do that. So you get this one that you can afford, and then as you go along, you will build your credit up, okay? And you it's a process, man. It's not an event. It's a process. Now all of my kids thank me. All of my kids can get a credit score, 800 plus. All of my kids can borrow what they need because they have known how to handle money. Okay? You know, we got people that, hey, I got a new telephone number. People change telephones more than they change clothes. You know why? Because they never paid Verizon. They never paid U.S. Cellular. Now they're on Straight Talk. Come on, I'm just being honest with you. We're talking about Christian people. Ran the Verizon bill up to $790, and you're disconnected. You're a Christian. You disconnected. Now you've gone to another company, and you done disconnected with them, so you're just going to do prepay. You know why? Because you're a thief. Let that settle in for just a second. Because you won't pay anybody. You're just a thief. You reduced your character down to that of one who would be willing to steal. Man, I was super quiet in here. Yeah, I know people, man. You say, hey, I'm a real estate agent. I've learned a lot as a real estate agent. Well, no, the power is in my mama's name. What? I thought the power was in your name. No, I don't have credit with Dominion. I don't think we need to go any further here, because when it comes time to get this power turned on, it's probably not going to happen that you're going to turn it on in your mama's name again. Okay? They got a house in somebody's name, the power's in somebody's name, the water bill's in Uncle So-and-so's name. I'm just telling you, let's do the right thing, okay? Let's do the right thing. So what do? You teach your kids how to use money. You teach your kids the character and the integrity of how to do business deals. You show them the value of spiritual life and living. You model, you train, you discipline, you lay the foundation the right way. I remember when Abigail wanted to buy a house. First time she wanted to buy a house, she's been paying rent. She wanted to buy a house, and guess what? I told her, hey, I would use Southern Bank. You know, I used Southern Bank for years. She went to Southern Bank, and I never will forget the disappointment that I saw on her face. I said, did everything go okay? No, they said that I wasn't quite there yet. I said, Abby, it's okay. Here's what you do. Do you need anything from, I don't need anything. You need anything from Belk's? We're in Raleigh. You need any? No, I don't need anything. Well, listen, buy this. Buy some towels. Buy something. I don't even remember what you bought. Buy this. Bought $50, $60 worth of stuff. Now go to the register and tell them you want to pay it off. They give you a little credit card here. Pay it off. And buy something every month. Y'all listen to me, those of you who are struggling with credit. Buy something, pay it off. Buy something, pay it off. Buy something, pay it off. After a while, they will be saying, congratulations, we've increased your credit line. You know, they're just going to climb you up. You'll have more credit than you will ever need. I have about 4 credit cards in my pocket right now. All of them with a 0 balance. Every one of them. Pastor Joy can tell you we're standing at the register. You can save 20% here if you open up. She says, don't ask him. He's not going to do that. Well, it'll save you 20%. She said, no, ma'am. He doesn't take cards. He doesn't do cards, okay? Say no to credit. Only get what you need for an emergency or something like that to help build your credit. Then I remember when Abby went back to Southern Bank 9 months to a year later. Guess what? Congratulations. You are now credit worthy to buy yourself a home. It's not an event, friends. It's a process. And where should that process come from? My dad should help me with that. My mom should help me with that. Okay? And as they get older, they won't be mad with you anymore. Okay? They'll have superb credit, and they will thank you for helping me to understand how this works. Okay? But if you're the Verizon person, you're never going to get anywhere. You're going to go into the deeper hole, and it'll take forever for you to get out of there because you created a something that's impossible to get out of. So if you need help, ask someone. There are plenty, as Pastor Joy said, there are plenty of people who have been extremely successful right here. I'm looking at their faces right now. Extremely successful with handling money, and they know how to do it. And you could get some help from somebody in the church who could teach you the basics and help you to get your feet on the ground. But remember, it's not an event, okay? It's a process. You didn't get where you are overnight, and you won't get out of it overnight. This all comes from who? My dad. My father role, my mother role, someone who could help me. This is what a father does who loves his kids. You love your wife, you love your kids, you're present, you're on task, you're fulfilling your God-given role to the best of your ability. It runs deeper than child support. You don't just send the check. Sending a check is not love. You only do it because they make you. You're all the quietest bunch of people I've preached to in a long time. I'm just telling you the truth. Sending a check is not the love. Make yourself present in their lives, okay? It's deeper than that. It's far more than helping them to get the car. Fathers are desperately needed now more than ever. Today, we salute the countless fathers who've done their very best to be the men that God has called them to be the fathers that God has called them to be. Today, we ask you that are fathers to visit and revisit the manner in which you're involved in the lives of your children. You say, man, I don't know, man, but it's late. She's 47 years old. It doesn't matter. She still has the desire for her father to be in her life. I'm telling you, you could pull any person in this congregation right now that have had some challenging situations when it comes to dad. And I don't care how old they are, they would love to have that vacuum filled with a healthy relationship with their dad. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Grown man in my office 10 years ago. I need to talk to you, Pastor. Hardworking guy, father of two. In the eyes of the community, everything's great. Active in his church, active in his community, loved by many, asset to his family. You would think he had it all together. And he sits and, in a very intense way, weeps and sobs, I don't know who my father is. Tears came continually. I gave him space. And he began a process with me that has worked him through healing and wholeness. And he is a father who spends time with his kids today. As we come to a close today, worship team, come back with me here. Several years ago, I got a telephone call. Not from another family, from my own. My mom said, we found my dad. I said, what? She said, we found my dad. See, I never met my grandfather or even knew he existed until he was 74 years old. I met my grandfather for the first time in my life at 74. He walked out on my mom when she was five years old. He walked out of her life. And I met my grandfather for the first time in the Pine Tops community in Murfreesboro, North Carolina, when I lived over there. I met my grandfather at 74 years old for the first time. My name is Harry Russell. I'm your grandfather. What happened? My grandfather got saved. He was riding down the road of a Mississippi interstate highway and was listening to a gospel preacher on the radio. And he started swerving on the highway, swerving back and forth. A Mississippi highway patrolman pulled him on the side of the road, blue lights burning. And he said, sir, step out of the car. Gospel's blaring in the speakers. Sir, step out of the car. And my grandfather looked at him and said, it's not what you think. He said, you must have pulled me because I must have been swerving. He said, yes, have you been drinking? He said, no, sir, I have not been drinking. He said, I've listened to the gospel. I've given my heart to Jesus Christ riding down this highway. And you can't begin to know the work that I've got ahead of me as a 74-year-old man. You know, as fate would have it, he lived 17 miles from one of his daughters for 5 years, and they didn't even know it. 17 miles down the road in Mississippi was my Aunt Ivy's father, and she never knew he lived there. We did the best we could to build relationship after he came clean and contacted all of his family. We all got together for a big reunion. And we did the best we could to nurture relationship with him. And about 78 years old, 79, he got very sick and passed away. But he had restored all of those relationships with those kids. And they got together so many times it wasn't funny. Every time you turn around, my mom, where are you going? We're going to Mississippi. Where are you going? We're going to Mississippi. Every time you turn around, they were all meeting in Mississippi because they were trying to make up for lost time. Knowing my grandfather was almost like meeting someone in Walmart. Why? Because there was no relationship there. I understand you're my grandfather, but here's the thing. We didn't have anything built. So it was a little awkward, but I did the best I could do for him as well, to allow him to fulfill what he believed that God had called him to do, listening to the gospel on a radio program. He was not drunk. He was moving all over the road because he was so emotional at what he had heard. And he gave his life to Jesus. The trooper didn't give him a ticket. He said, "Man, that's an amazing story. I hope you can find your family." You say, "Pastor, why that story?" Well, can I just tell you, I don't care where you find yourself in that relationship. Maybe you're a man here today, and maybe you've been one of those absent fathers. Maybe you got two kids and we don't even know it because we've never seen them, never heard about them. Maybe you're sitting here and you're a father and you just haven't been involved in your kids' lives. I beg you today, please make every effort, get you some help, law enforcement, social services, whatever you need to do, find your family and begin the process of healing that relationship. Begin the process of healing that relationship. Let's stand together, could we? I want to pray for challenges today. Some of you may be here. You may be a child. You may be someone who just really has a deep hurt today. Maybe you've done the best you could do, and maybe you felt like, "Man, I don't know why, but he just never responds to me." Maybe there's hurt there. Pastor Joy is so right. The presence of God can heal. He can heal. He can heal in an instant. So can I just open this altar up today for you for any reason? You don't even have to tell us your story. You can allow us to just lay hands on you today and pray that God would order your steps so that you can see reconciliation. Let me do that. Could you just step out of your seat if you're here and you say, "Pastor, there is an issue and I just want prayer for it today." Come on, as they begin to sing, just come to the altar. Someone will pray with you today. Step out of your seat and come. These altars are open. Let God touch you today. Let him touch you today. He's here. He's here to help you. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. maybe you're concerned about a kid or a grandkid. Come on, let God touch you today. Today, some of you are here and you're like kinsmen redeemers. Some of you married into circumstances that have their own uniqueness. You know, please don't take away, well, Pastor Wallace is he's Adam and Eve and that's it, you know, or you should be with the first guy you married the rest of your day. Listen, there are always exceptions. God gives those exceptions. And some of you ended up in that second or third relationship, and it's more than you signed up for. It's challenging. Can I just tell you, God loves you and God will help you. Some of you might have married someone and you say, man, I love him to death, but that guy's youngin's about to kill me. Listen, you got more than what you thought. But can I just tell you something? God's grace is sufficient. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. Yes, the ideal in any person's life, one husband, one wife, kids, all the way through, that only happens in 68% of the time. I gave you those stats today. So some of you are on those second or maybe even third relationships. You still just have to access the power of God, the grace of God, the scriptures of the Holy Bible, and God's grace is sufficient, and He will help you to build a relationship that he'd be honored with. So I'm not against those things. I'm not at all. They're more challenging. And you know, I spent probably 5 minutes on, I just sensed this today. I spent 5 minutes or so on just that little financial piece. There's people in the church. Listen, if you can't find help within the church, God help us. If you are here today and you have struggles, you say, man, I've never been able to own a home or whatever. Just be honest and say, hey, I need help with this. I guarantee you there are people scattered around this room that would love to devote some time to sit down with you to help you get a solid financial track record. You can do it. You can do it with God's help. Maybe you don't have anybody in your family that can help you. Listen, there are people in the kingdom of God that can help you. That's your spiritual family, all right? And so they can help you. So we just bless you today. Fathers, mothers, kids, listen, today, pastries for pops, okay? Pastries for pops, moms, kids, grandkids. We're honoring dads today by giving away pastries. So please, when you leave here, just make your way to the coffee shop. There's plenty of pastries there. We had over 100 pastries, so there's plenty, okay? Pick up a pastry on us today. Get you something to drink. And let's just thank God. Come on, thank God for fathers today. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for men. Man up. It's time to just examine ourselves and be the men that God's called us to be. Jeremy, I just applaud you, man. You're a tremendous leader of your home, and I thank God for you, and I thank God for you producing those two little munchkins for me, man. I mean, you know what? Where would I be without you, bro? Come on. I just thank God for your life and your leadership, and you know, Jeremy and Abby are trusted with leading several marriage groups in their church, and so they work with Kingdom Marriage, and they're doing a great job with that. And just there's constant activity and constant teaching and constant ministry and constant struggle, but they work through it. So God has blessed them. Thank you for praying for them as God leads them to help others. So hey, good job today, young lady. You got a beautiful voice. Love that. You appreciate that? Come on. Amen. The apple don't fall far from the tree, does it? Praise God. Great job, worship team. And love you guys, man. Happy Father's Day to you. Please run get you a pastry today. Take your time, and let's have a great day, what's left of it, all right? God bless you. We love you. Happy Father's Day.